Hello everyone, I hope we are doing well. And yeah, so I'm back again after a long while. I know it's been a long time since I recorded. I did a podcast recording, but I really thank God I'm back again. I hope this time I'll be more consistent. I've been quite caught up with quite a number of things over the months and over the weeks, any of them, but I'm very happy. And today I'm going to be sharing a message which the Holy Spirit placed on my heart for a very long time. I think since my last recording, I have been wanting to make an episode on this topic specifically. But then I kept on being disobedient and procrastinating and pushing it back. But today the conviction was really strong, and I believe someone out there really has to hear this word. Someone who will listen to this podcast, probably it could be. Jesus, that even as we listen to this podcast, the Holy Spirit will minister to you in Jesus' name, and our lives would be elevated, would move from glory to glory, and would have more encounters with Him, and most importantly, we'll know God more, and we'll have clarity concerning His will for us, and we'll be empowered to do what He has called us to do in Jesus' name. Yeah, so there's a brief introduction. So yeah, so today's podcast, today's session, I'll be speaking about footholds. I titled it Footholds, Strongholds. And yeah, so let's get going. So yeah, so as I said earlier in the introduction, today I'm going to be speaking briefly about footholds and strongholds. I'm going to try my best to make this podcast as short as possible. Yeah. So, the main scripture for today's discussion, which I've titled again, I mentioned the title again, Footholds or Strongholds. I have quite a lot of different things to share concerning the same thing. I'm trusting God for grace to be able to put everything together. I don't know how well I have arranged them, but I've tried to arrange them very well out here in my notes. So, but it's still some looking somewhere. So, yeah. So footholds, strongholds. And the main scripture is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. And I'm sure the scripture is in the description. Yeah, I'm making the recording before I write the description, so I'm going to put the scripture in the description of the podcast, so you see there. So Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, and personally I like to read the Bible in different versions. I believe the Holy Spirit has a way of communicating to me personally through different versions, and I encourage people to read the Bible in different versions so that we will get a clearer understanding of what we are reading, or a better understanding in English, a better understanding of what we are reading. So the main scripture for today's discussion is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, and the King James version says, if I'm not mistaken, says don't give the enemy a foothold. And there are versions which says give no place to the devil, or give no opportunity to the devil. So I'm trying to open the King James version first before I read the Amplified, but like my main focus is on the Amplified. So the King James, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil, neither give place to the devil. The NIV says, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, the NIV is the main inspiration for this, for the title I give to the script, this session, or this podcast, this recording. He says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. It's a very important scripture. I believe every believer should. Jesus, do not give the devil a foothold. Early in life, in senior high school, I learned that when you give the devil a foothold, he'll make it a stronghold. because like I'm rhyming, but there's a lot of wisdom in this statement. And when you give the devil a foothold, he will make it his stronghold. Why do I say that? For example, the best example I can give is that of Adam and Eve and the devil. And anytime we give the devil a foothold, he makes it a stronghold. Even before I explain the Adam and Eve, I am talking about Adam and Eve and the devil scenario in Genesis. Let me read the Amplified version for Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. It says, "And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness." I'll read it again. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. This is the Amplified version. It says, "Do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness." Now, from the Amplified version, is the preceding scripture, which is Ephesians 4:26, spoke about anger. It says, "Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin." We mostly hear people say that the Bible says that we should be angry, but we shouldn't sin. Like, we have the right to be angry, but we shouldn't let our anger convert into sin. Yes, or should we let our anger cause us to sin? So, like, there's a thin line between getting angry and your anger crossing into sin. So, back to the main scripture, which says that do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. That's a sermon on its own, and I'll speak briefly about it before I move on. We were speaking about giving the devil an opportunity. Do not give the devil an opportunity. So before the devil can have an opportunity in our life, or before the devil can have influence in our life, we give him that influence. We give him the opportunity. The NIV said, "Do not give the devil a foothold." Before the devil can have a foothold in our life, we give him the foothold. So, no matter how much the devil is, I don't see the devil as powerful, but I see him as very cunning. So that's what the Bible says. The Bible calls him cunning. He's very cunning. He's very smart. So, yeah, that's it. So basically, he's saying that do not give the devil a foothold, or do not give the devil an opportunity. Basically, a foothold is an opportunity we give to someone. It's a place of influence. It's a ground of influence. So, reading from the dictionary, it says, "A place where a person's foot can be lodged or supports them securely, especially while climbing." That's not the meaning I wanted. But the second meaning is really what fits into our context, which says that a secure position from which further progress may be made. So, for the devil to have a secure position in our life so that he can make further progress in destroying us. Like, the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So before the devil can kill, steal, or destroy us, he needs first of all a foothold in our lives. He needs a secure position. He needs a place he can stand to make progress in destroying our lives, in stealing from us, in taking our happiness, and hindering us from doing the will of God. And the Bible says that do not give the devil a foothold, do not give an opportunity to the devil. So one key thing we should notice is that the level of influence the devil has in our life is dependent on the amount of space we give him. The devil tries to read our life, but then he's like a trickster. He's a trickster, he's a 411, and I believe he's the father of lies. So he deceives you for you to give him influence into your life, for you to give him a foothold, for you to open the door for him. In Ghana, we call such a person, like, there's this childhood story of Kwikwanansi. Kwikwanansi will deceive you, he will tell you lies, then when you give him an opportunity, he would the world on that opportunity to destroy you further or to take advantage of you in a negative way or in a way that profits him. So the Bible is speaking about we giving the devil a foothold. And Ephesians 4:27, the Amplified classified or defined the foothold. Ephesians 4:27 was really talking about, and it spoke about holding grudge, nurturing anger, or harboring resentment. And some of us listen to this podcast, probably we might be offended. People have offended us, people have betrayed us, people have hurt us, but then we are still holding on to the grudge. The interesting thing is that you that the person has offended you, has hurt you, you also stand the chance of giving the devil an opportunity in your life by holding on onto the hurt someone has hurt you. And the one who hurts you is probably working away free, because the person has probably even asked God for forgiveness and has accepted, received forgiveness, and is working away free and happy. But then people are bound to offend us. It's a human nature. People are bound. You can't do away with offense and with betrayals and with people and getting you annoyed and with people making you bitter. But then anytime we are bitter, anytime we harbor bitterness, anytime we harbor resentment or grudge or hatred towards someone, we are giving the devil a place in our life. We are giving the devil a foothold, a ground of influence in our life. And as I said earlier, anytime we give the devil a foothold, a stronghold, and the devil cannot have influence in our lives until we give him that influence, we give him that place. So if you give the devil one plot of land, he will find a way of expanding that plot of land into 3 or 4 places. I don't know how he will do it, but then through that one plot of land you've given him, he's going to influence your farm in so many ways. Like they say, one bad nut spoils the whole thing, like something like that. I've forgotten the how it said, well, but then you get my point. So hopefully but then the whole point is we should allow the love of God to dominate us. And the scripture was mainly talking about we not being led into sin by holding grudge. But then anytime we disobey God, anytime we sin, sin is simply disobedience to God. So the Bible, so the first point is about do not give the devil an opportunity. So any opportunity the devil has in our life is because we gave it to him. We need to be conscious of this, that any opportunity the devil, anytime you see the devil working in your life, you see the work of the devil in your life, you should know that he gave him an opportunity. But thank God that the Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. So that's one reason why we are recording this podcast, so that we will be aware of how the devil works and we can overcome his strategies. And already Christ has overcome him for us, so we are just working in the victory of Christ. But then we should let go with resentment, with anger, with bitterness. We should learn to forgive people, and it's not easy, but when we allow the love of God to dominate and fuel us, and we meditate on God's love especially, we are able to forgive and let people go. Yeah. So back to the scripture, Ephesians 4:27. The first point is do not give the devil an opportunity. And I keep on saying one more time that the devil has an opportunity in our life because we give him the opportunity. Anytime you see the devil working in your life, it's because you gave him an opportunity. Yeah. And the second point is that to lead you into sin. What is sin? Sin is disobedience to God. Anytime we disobey God, we have sinned, basically. But we thank God for the blood of Jesus. But then we give the devil a place in our lives anytime we disobey God. Anytime we disobey God. So that takes us back to the story of Adam and Eve and the serpent, the devil, and the book of Genesis. And I said earlier that anytime we give the devil a foothold, he makes it a stronghold. So they disobeyed God by eating of the fruits which God told them not to eat, and that disobedience gave the devil a foothold, which he made a stronghold. And now we see so many people working in sin and in destruction, because Adam and Eve gave the devil a foothold then. And you see, see the ripple effects of sin in our time. Someone might say, yes, God is forgiven, the mercy of God and everything. Yeah, God forgives, God is merciful, and He will forgive us and everything, and that's true. But then, let's look at the story of Abraham, for example. Abraham went out of God's will to have a child called Ishmael, but he eventually gave it to Isaac. But in God forgiving Abraham, God didn't say, okay, because you have given birth to Ishmael, Isaac won't come. Isaac still came. So God is not going to block your blessings because he sinned. No. Once we receive forgiveness, His will concerning your life is still open. Once we are open to being obedient to Him still. But then my point is that in as much as God is forgiven, Ishmaels don't die. And the world, the Christian world, is still I don't want to say softened or but still feel the effect of Ishmael in a certain way. So in as much as God is forgiven, let's remember that Ishmaels don't die. Let's remember that there are certain actions we are going to take. God will forgive us, all right, He's merciful, but then we will still have to feel the effect of our actions. So we should be very cautious and careful of the decisions we make. We shouldn't just make decisions out of the mindset of the abundance of grace and everything. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say. And it's very important that we are conscious of being obedient to God and not disobeying God. Because anytime we disobey God, anytime we gratify the desires of the lust of the flesh, we get into fornication, into sin, into hatred, into anger, into doubt. These little things, into even laziness, we are giving the devil a foothold. Anytime we contradict God, we go against the will of God, we go against God's will, we are giving the devil a foothold in our lives, and he's gradually making a stronghold in our life. But then someone might ask, okay, yes, right now there's a stronghold, so what's up, what next, is that the end of my life? No. Yeah, Bible says in James 4 verse 7 that submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he would flee from you. So anytime we submit ourselves to God, we resisting the devil is linked to submitting ourselves to God. But mostly people want to resist the devil outside submission to God, and the devil is not resisted. That's the funny thing. So we need to first of all submit ourselves to the will of God, and from there we are able to resist the devil. And once we resist the devil, he will flee. So we see that in Jesus. He's our perfect example. The devil came to tempt Jesus after his 40 days fast. He tried to tell him all sorts of things. I'll give you A, I'll give you B if you bow. All the devil wanted was a foothold in Jesus' life, so that he could make a stronghold out of it. But Jesus had submitted himself to the will of the Father, and as a result, he was able to resist the devil through quoting the scriptures, by using the word of God. He is the word, but he had quoted the scriptures and told them, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil he ran away. What is the past tense for flee? He fled, if I'm right here. Yeah. So basically that's it. So we need to submit ourselves to the Lord. The whole, the way we do not give the devil a foothold in our life is grounded in us submitting to the Lord, submitting ourselves to the will of God, submitting ourselves to God's will, to His word. His will is His word. When we submit ourselves to His word, like we are, this book of the law shall not depart from our mouth, but we shall meditate on it day and night. Therein we will be able to do all that is written in it. In someone, he says that blessed is he who delights himself in the law of the Lord, and on the law shall he meditate day and night. So that's the will of God. That's the will of God. That's how we submit ourselves to God, by meditating on His will, by steadying his word by following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So as many as who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the two main ways we submit ourselves to God's will is by meditating and by studying his word and doing what the word says, and by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we are doing these things, we are submitting ourselves to God's will. And even the third one is by being conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many times we are not conscious of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we need to be conscious of his presence. Someone made an instance that let's walk about imagining there's a dove on our shoulders, and with that in mind, we would be, it gives yes a consciousness, an imagination. We need to be, first of all, in order to submit ourselves to God's will, I mentioned to, but I'm making it three. First of all, we need to meditate on God's word. That's Joshua 1:8. We need to study and we need to meditate on the word of God. Then secondly, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we see it in the book of Romans that as many as who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says pray, you must pray. When it says pray at 2 o'clock, you must pray at 2 o'clock. Don't preach to 3. Delayed obedience to disobedience. In that way, you are giving the enemy a foothold. And thirdly, we need to be conscious, always aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are not alone. And there's this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, which speaks about that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. So you might be listening to this podcast and you are like, you know that you have given the devil a stronghold. He has made a stronghold out of the foothold in your life. You are stuck to an addiction, you are stuck to something. You see the devil, the work of the devil in your life mightily. You see strongholds in your mind. The strongholds are mainly built in our mind and they reflect in our actions. But then the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And the main way we can deal with this is through the word of God, by confessing God's word and by meditating on it. As you listen to messages, you confess the word of God, you meditate on his word, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you give yourself to prayer and to the word of, to the study of his word, you are pulling down strongholds. Those are the weapons of our warfare. Those are the weapons of our warfare. The word of God, prayer. And then this last scripture I would like to share, that's also from 2 Corinthians 4:6, chapter 10, verse 6, sorry. It says that having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So in the past you might have disobeyed God and you are suffering the effects of your disobedience to God. You know that you've come far from God, but you can never be too far from the grace of God. But Paul is telling us that the only way we can undo our disobedience is by simply obeying God now. In the past you disobeyed God, the devil is condemning you. Forget about his condemnation. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus once you are born again. The only way forward for you right now is just start obeying God. That's what the scripture is saying. 2 Corinthians 10:6. He says that having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. There's such a thing as revenging disobedience. To revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we revenge disobedience by obedience. That's it. So you used to disobey God and you think you are fine. If 1 + 1 = 2 and you wrote 3, the only way you can correct yourself is by next time when you see 1 + 1 at examination, don't write 3, write 2. That's the way forward. So my last piece of words is that in the past you might have disobeyed God, but then the way forward now is constant obedience. Just give yourself to obeying God. Just obey God. Follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Do what the word of God says. And as we do that, we are set to a path of endless victory, endless glory, endless prosperity. The most important thing a man can do is to do God's will for his life. If whatever you do is outside God's will, your life is a waste, if I should say. So it's very important to do the will of God. And the devil is not interested in making you poor. His main goal of stealing, killing, and destroying is to discourage you and to take you away from the will of God. The will of God is very important. So let's remember that anytime we give the devil a foothold, he makes a strong good out of it. And the only way we can deal with this is by submitting ourselves to the will of God. By submitting ourselves to God, and as we submit ourselves to God, we automatically resist the devil. And I spoke about we being Joshua 1:8, meditating and studying on God's word. And I spoke about we being conscious of the Holy Spirit, and we following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. A man of God can take and say that he says that prosperity is as a result of being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Say success is a result of obedience to the Holy Spirit. Success is a result of obedience to the Holy Spirit. And success, in my definition, is fulfilling God's purpose for your life, fulfilling God's will for your life. So yeah, you might be listening to this podcast and you might be going through a lot. And yeah, if you are, well, I pray for you in Jesus' name. If you are sick in your body, if you are discouraged, I pray that you'll be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in your bodies, in your mind, in your souls, in Jesus' name. I declare strength and life to your body and to your mind in Jesus' name. And I just want you to know that the most important thing in life is knowing God and having a relationship with Him and doing His will for your life. Like, that's it. Know God, know Him more and more, and do His will for your life. And if you are listening to this podcast and you are not born again, I just want to lead you into salvation. If I should say it that way, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10, that with our mouths, confession is made unto salvation. So that if you believe with your heart that Jesus died and you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, then you'll be saved. So you need to believe that Jesus died and resurrected. You just need to confess. There's no long process, but it's a real big deal. So just say this prayer: that Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you died and you resurrected for me. I believe that Jesus died and resurrected, and I confess that He's Lord over my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. So with this simple prayer, we are saved. Yeah, so I thank you for listening to today's episode, and I hope you have truly been blessed. And yeah, God bless you so much for listening, and I hope to see you soon in the next episode. God bless you once again.